We want to welcome you to Blessed Hope Bible Church, where we are a church that believes the gospel is relevant not only yesterday, but today and forever. And our privilege is to share that word with you today. And if you want to learn more about who we are, what we believe, our statement of faith, visit us on the web at www.bhbcstl.org. That's www.bhbcstl.org. Every message that I preach is on the website for you to download. You can download it, you can study it, you can even preach it as some of my minister friends do. Whatever you want to do, you go right ahead, because the word of God was meant to be shared, and we want to share it with all who desire to know what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Today I want to conclude a three-part series entitled Let It Rain. And the purpose of this series has been to equip you and me with the principles that we need to respond to adversity in a way that brings glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the purpose of this series has been. And how many of you know that if you live long enough, you're going to have some adversity? You're going to have some trouble. You're going to have something in your life that goes wrong. And you need to know how to respond to it. You need to know how to deal with it, other than simply feeling sorry for yourself. We don't respond to trouble as Christians the way sinners do. We respond to it in a completely different way. Why? Because we have a completely different God. See, my God is not the God of the people on the boat. We got a different God. So when trouble comes, I respond to trouble differently than someone who does not know Christ. Why? Because the God I serve is bigger than my trouble. Yes. Hallelujah. Our passage or scripture for this series is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. Matthew 5, 43 through 45. And let me read that for you. It says, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." In this passage, Jesus is instructing us that we are to love our enemies, and this is the reason why. Because the God we serve sends blessing on our enemies as well as on us. He allows the sun to shine on them, and he lets the sun shine on us. He lets the rain fall on them, and he lets the rain fall on us. And so if God is willing to bless our enemies, we should be willing to love them. You say, "Pastor, I can't love my enemy." Not in your own strength, you can't. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can love anybody. You can forgive everybody. Amen. And Jesus wouldn't ask you to do something that he hasn't given you the ability to do. Amen. And so you can love your enemy. "No, I can't." Yes, you can. Somebody became president off of that slogan. Yes, you can. You can do this. Amen. Now listen, we know that rain is good if you're a farmer. If you planted some crops and you've seen the sun shine and all of that, if you are a farmer, you love rain. Because rain is a sign that you are going to see a harvest. But when it rains in your life, that's not always a good thing. In fact, we generally look at rain in one's life as a period of trouble and adversity. But the question we want to answer today out of the Bible is this: how do we as believers in Christ respond to rain? How do we respond to trouble? How do we respond when situations appear to be overwhelming in our lives and we have nowhere else to turn? What do we do? How do we endure? How do we go through? Well, the word of God tells us how. And you don't go through by reading a self-help book. You don't go through by going to a conference on how to get through. You go through by the power of God. Amen. Amen? And there are three things you should never do when it rains in your life. Number one, don't curse the rain, because it's not going to cause the rain to cease. Number two, don't compare the rain that's happening in your life with the rain that's going on in somebody else's. Don't look at that brother over there and say, well, why aren't they going through the same misery I'm going through? Number one, you don't know all that they're going through. And number two, you don't have the right to judge. And thirdly, never ask the question, Lord, why me? Why am I the one who have to go through this? I always ask the question, why not me? Why not me? This storm that has come in my life, why not me? Who am I that I should be able to live a life absent from adversity? I'm nobody. And so if God can send rain to my enemy, he'll send a little rain my way as well. You're not serving a God who you see some rain happen over at your enemy, you get to say, uh-huh, that's what you get. No, no, get ready, because that storm is moving your direction. In the book of Proverbs, we're warned that if you see your enemy experience calamity, don't laugh, lest the Lord turn his wrath from them. So you don't want to look at the person who's different from you, who gets on your nerves, who doesn't like you, who don't speak to you, and then when they get sick, God said, and don't laugh, don't rejoice in your heart and say, oh, uh-huh, that's what you get. Uh-uh, you ain't nobody. If somebody makes fun of you, God's not going to judge them because they talk about you. Who are you? Well, they shouldn't have stepped in front of me like that. Now God judged them. God is not going to judge somebody because they mistreat you. Let's just get that out right now. Oh, no, God's going to deal with them because of the way they treated me. No, he's not. He's going to deal with them because of the way they treat him. Yeah, see, it's okay that if we're outside and you step on my foot and don't speak to me, that don't mean nothing. But if you try to undermine the ministry, you're not even messing with me. You're not even messing with me. You're messing with God. And at that point, I'm not even mad at you. I'm praying for you because you don't know who you're messing with. But if you want to just talk, that's fine. That's no big deal. But if you want to go into the church and play that game, now you done got on somebody's nerves. Amen? And God's going to have to step in. And he's just going to have to correct some things. And that's what he will do. You don't have to worry about that. He will do that. But let me share this with you. Many times when adversity comes, we as Christians, we do not respond in a way that even sinners do. I've seen sinners deal with adversity like cancer, and for those of you who work in the hospitals, you know what I'm talking about. They just push on. They push on. And I've seen Christians just quit coming to church. Well, I don't know why I even go to church. Why did I ever tithe? Why did I ever do that? Because a little rain comes. And that's a very sad testimony that you can't hold up as good as a sinner. Come on now. You can't hold up as good as a sinner, and you got the Holy Ghost, you got the Word, you got Jesus, you got the church, you got God. And then when you lose your job or you find out the diagnosis didn't go your way, all of a sudden you lose your faith. That's not what this journey is about, my friend. And you need to understand something. You're not too cute to go through a storm. You're not too pretty to go through trials. I don't care. You can speak in tongues and prophesy all you want and still go through some hell. Because not all hell is below your feet. You're not that pretty. You're not Muhammad Ali. I'm pretty. You're not that pretty. Everybody is going to go through some storms. Everybody is going to go through some rain in their life. So what should we do? Number one, rejoice in the rain. Number two, learn from the rain. And number three, trust God in the midst of the rain. And today we want to teach you how to learn from the rain and how you can trust God in the midst of the rain. Dr. Billy Handmaker is the head of Crossroads Preparatory School, one of the most successful secondary institutions in the country. And this is what he says. He says, experience is not the best teacher. Bad experience is the best teacher. And how profound that is, because there's a theological element that is there as it pertains to how God relates to his children as it relates to adversity. And that theological connection is this. Why does God rely on adversity to build his own children? Isn't there a better way? I mean, he's God. He can do anything but fail. Nothing is impossible for him. He can take dust and make a man. He can take a virgin and bring his son into the world. Why does he have to do what he does in my life through pain and through adversity? Why do I have to go through trouble? And why does God orchestrate that trouble to build in me his character? There's got to be a better way. Well, I guarantee you there's a better way. The best way that God could possibly use is to give you a document that shows you various people who have messed up and how they fail. And then you learn from them that you shouldn't be like them. He could do that. Yeah, if he had written a book or something, you know, where you could read through it about some various characters over history who sinned and did things that were wrong, and you saw the dramatic consequences, and you read that document and said, oh, I'm not going to do what they did. I'm not going to commit adultery like he did. I'm not going to murder like they did. I'm not going to lust like they did, because I'm looking at this document that he wrote. I mean, had he written one? And then you could take that document. What you got there, brother? Yeah, something like this. Something that looks a little like this. If he would have written something where you could learn from people who crossed him, the consequences of messing with God, you know what? You could read this and say, you know what? I'm not going to cross God, because I don't want to go through anything that these folk went through. Man, if he had written a book like this, that would be the best way to learn. Had we had some, if we could just have something that we could read through history, you know, like of a king who had way too many wives. He was rich and wise, and, you know, he got himself in trouble with the ladies. And then we could read about how we should live as men. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? If we could read about somebody who, when they were told to go and do something, they only did it halfway, and all the loss that they suffered, man, that would be great. If we could read about a man who God had spoken to and said, go and do this, and then they get on a ship and try to go away from God, and then God, man, wouldn't it be nice that we could learn from their mistakes? That is the best way to learn. The best way to learn is for someone to be told, don't cross the highway. And you're standing there watching them. They get hit. Guess what? You don't cross. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. But that doesn't explain why God allows trials and adversity. Yes, it does. The reason why God allows you to go through what you do is because your flesh is in the way. See, you do have a book, and we still don't learn. And you have the nerve to ask God, why do I have to go through trouble? He's given you so many examples of what happens when you blow it, and you still don't learn it. But then I'm presuming you even read the book. And I shouldn't make that assumption. But it's because your flesh is in the way. Your flesh is in the way. See, God would love, I'm sure, to just basically say, okay, now do this. And you do it. But you won't. So he sends the rain. Then it troubles your flesh. Then you say, Lord, help me. He says, yeah, but when I help you, you go do this, right? Yes. Well, why wouldn't you have done it the first time? Because your flesh was in the way. So some storms that come through life, they're there to purge and refine your character. And it gets back to the point that was made by Dr. Handmaker. Experience is not the best teacher. Bad experience is. And so don't let that bad experience go to waste. Allow God to teach you through it. But you got to have a mind to learn. See, bad experience, there are some folk who just don't get it. They lose this, they lose that. And you would think that if they can see a connection between their relationship with God and their adversity, maybe they start changing that relationship. Some folk just don't get it. You've got to have a mind to learn. And let me tell you how to get that mind, that right attitude, to learn how to deal with adversity and to learn the lessons of it. Number one, ask God to teach you instead of deliver you. Instead of saying, Lord, get me out of this, say, Lord, is there a lesson for me? And if there is a lesson, what is that lesson? And then after you've done that, and say, Lord, once you have taught me, give me the wisdom to apply that lesson to those areas of my life. Are y'all with me? And I don't know about you all, but there have been times when God has taught me and he has taught me well. And I'm talking about 30 years ago. I am dealing with lessons that he taught me 30 years ago that I never forgot. In other words, it's at the point where whenever a temptation comes, I say, oh no, I remember what trouble I got into then. I don't want to go back. I want to move forward. So these trials and this adversity and these storms, they can be a good thing. I'm not saying they're good inherently. I'm saying they can be a good thing in that they can teach you how to avoid making the same mistakes over and over and over again in your life. But you got to have a mind to learn, a willingness to learn. See, we got folk who want to run in here to the church, and they come in not with a mind to learn, but with a mind to get out of trouble. And this is how you know them. When they come in, they come in, they make a big to-do, they're saved, they're this, they're that, they fall on the floor, they run around, and you don't see them again. You know, we take them to the food pantry, we hook them up with one of our mentors, and before you know it, within 2 or 3 days, we trying to reach them and they back out in the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But then there are those who are not here to get out of trouble. The fact of the matter is that they're trying to get to a place in God where they can rebuild their lives. That's the person that you don't have to chase down and say, we miss you. We'd love for you to come back. Is there something we did wrong? Uh-uh. That person is real. And as a church, this is what you need to learn as a lesson. You can't judge the effectiveness of your ministry based on who stays and who goes. Because people come to church for a whole lot of reasons. Some come to get food. Some come to get a woman. Some come to get a man. And some come just to get happy. They have no intentions of changing, but boy, if they could just shout one more time. And they're not changing. But then there are those who are saying, you know what? I need to make this real. And your neighbors and others who've ran up and down North County, Lindbergh, and Newhalls Ferry to these churches and have been basically given an account when they pay their bill to the church, they're sick of that. But yet at the same time, they need to understand that the God they serve wants a real relationship. And nothing good will begin for you until you begin trusting God. Amen. Well, what is there that we can learn? If we're called to learn through our trials, what can we learn? In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul shares some of the lessons that we can learn from our adversity. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Let me say that again. Not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's the lesson. And just like it's back to school for our young people, it's back to school for some of you not so young people. It's back to basics. It's back to school because the trials and tribulations of life have brought you back in the classroom. So you try to skip class. You're not going to skip class this time. Hallelujah. You're going to go through this. Amen. And we need to understand something about God. If you're going through a storm, it's not because he don't love you no more. So just get that out of your head. That has nothing to do with nothing. Amen. There's going to be trouble. That's why Paul says we glory in tribulations. Why would he say that if he were preaching a gospel in which there was no cross? You receive Jesus, all of your days will be blessed. You will be prosperous. You will be healthy. You will be this. Paul wasn't even healthy. He had a sickness. So you can't preach that. You can't sell tickets to Yaya Land. Oh, boy. If you just try Jesus, all your problems will go away. They so will not go away. Your sin will. But your trouble won't. I'm just trying to be real. And some of y'all, you need to run down the street to hear that other message. But the message of the gospel is this. He will take your sins away. But the trouble may yet remain. But he will give you the strength in the midst of the trouble if you're willing to respond in a way that brings him glory. That brings him glory. Tribulation is a big English word from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean that means trouble. That's all it means. And in the midst of our pain, Paul tells us we learn patience, experience, and hope. Well, what is patience? Patience is the ability to endure trouble when it's all around. It's the ability to keep your head up when your world is falling apart. Patience is the ability to wait when you don't feel like waiting. It is enduring, going through, hanging in there, all of those cliches and platitudes that we often hear that's supposed to motivate us. It's just sticking with it when the stickiness is worn off. It's being able to hang in there and hang tough no matter what. And when the knot, when you're at the end of the rope, you just tie a new knot, and you keep on holding on. That's what patience does. And you have to understand something about patience. You can't pray for patience. Patience is something you acquire as you go through storms. It doesn't do you a bit of good to say, Lord, give me patience. You're really saying, Lord, send me a storm. Because tribulation worketh patience. So if you're asking God for patience, and Paul says tribulation worketh patience, guess what you're doing? Lord, give me a storm, because when I get through that storm, I'll learn to wait. You're not going to get patience getting what you want, when you want, how you want. If all your life, your parents have spoiled you rotten and you've gotten everything and they've never told you no, you're going to be a mess. If you've gotten everything you want in your life, don't get married. Because your husband or wife is not a genie in a lamp. And there's going to be some trouble up in that house. Because a person who gets everything they want, they don't know how to wait. And that's why a lot of people who go through these economic crises, that's why they take their lives or take the life of somebody else and they go off on the deep end, because they don't know how to cope, because they've always had it good. They've always known what it's like for the sun to shine on their side of the fence. And now all of a sudden it's storming and they've got their own personal Katrina going on, if you will, and they don't know how to deal with it. Because they've always had it their way. They've always been able to do that. And if you're a Christian, the reason why you're having trouble dealing with trouble is because you've never had no And this gospel that we're preaching in North County that basically says, shout your problems away, is a lie. Your problems can't be shouted away and praised away and speaking in other tongues that you don't know. You barely understand English, but yet you want to do all of this. telling me about your Holy Ghost, and then when the storm comes in your marriage, you got getting a divorce. There ain't no Holy Ghost in that, my friend. You're not gonna sell that mess to me. That snake oil theology don't work up in here. See, that's not the Holy Ghost I got. I got that Holy Ghost that when I don't want to be married, I stay married. Amen. I don't feel like dealing with the kids. I deal with the kids. Sometimes I like to just get away, but the Holy Ghost in me, I don't have a getaway function or a button. You stay with it. You got to work overtime, you work it. I don't have that option of getting a divorce because of irreconcilable differences. That's not the Holy Ghost that's functioning in my life. And you say, you bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that will give you the power, this paraclete, this one who comes along the side when you want to quit. And he will give you strength you do not have just to make it another day. Not the Holy Ghost on cable television and direct TV. The Holy Ghost that's in your bedroom. We see things on TV, the gospel channels and things, and we think that's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not something that quits on you. You don't give up. You don't throw away relationships. You don't walk out on no church and be found in some scandal. Not with the Holy Ghost. And patience comes through trouble when you're tempted and tried and tired. Folk getting on your last nerve and you stay with it. You stay with it. You don't go and build you a church. You stay with the church you're at if God tells you to. You stay with the ministry you're at if God tells you to. You stay with the no good man you got if God tells you to. You stay with that no good woman you got if God tells you to. That's the Holy Ghost, folks. That's the Holy Ghost. That's why our families are so corrupted now. And our schools are basically feeling the signs of that. When that happens and everybody's shouting, we shout too much. We shouting too much. Somebody said, you need to just stop thinking and start shouting. I want to refute that and say, you need to think first before you shout. Why would you shout if you don't know what you're shouting about? Don't think, just shout. Think about the life you live in and about who you serve in before you start shouting and selling tickets up in here. Amen? Amen? Oh, he telling us we can't shout. I didn't say that, but this is what I'm saying. Don't play no games with God. Amen. Because we won't see what you made of until we watch you go through hell. Amen. Then I can observe what you got. Because you don't show me nothing in those church services about an hour and a half long. I don't know nothing about you. But let me see the mountain that you got to climb. Then I can know, I can observe. Jesus puts it this way, a tree shall be known by the fruit that it bears. And after patience, there's experience. I look at experience as on-the-job training. When you're in an interview, one of the most common questions you will be asked is this: do you have any experience? That's one of the most common questions they want to know. They want to look at your resume and they want to see how many years of experience that you may have in the job that you're making application for. Why would they do that? Because they may not feel comfortable putting someone with no experience in a position of responsibility. Doesn't that make sense to you? That's why you need some experience. Well, in the kingdom of God, we can see a similar phenomenon. Too many Christians, they want the stage, but not the storm. They want the privilege, but not the pain. They want the testimony, but not the test. You do not put a prize fighter, or you do not enter into the ring with a prize fighter if you've never been in a fight. You don't ask God to put you in a big fight when you haven't been through a little fight. Amen? Amen. And everybody wants the stage, but nobody wants the storm. Everybody wants to be on a platform, but nobody wants to pray. And it is that kind of mindset that is leading so many of us to see all of our icons and leaders in the Christian faith fall. Why? Because they don't have no business being there in the first place. You do not put a baby at the corporate seat. They got to grow up a little bit. You call yourself a fighter and you don't even know how to lace up your gloves yet. You got to go through something first. You allow that fighter to do battle with some lesser opponents so they can experience what it's like to get knocked down. You going in with a prize fighter for the championship of the world, you won't get knocked down. You'll get knocked out. You need to know what it's like to get knocked down, to get back up, to get knocked down again. You got to learn your way around the ring. You got to learn how to dance and move your feet, move your hands, and then anticipate what the fighter's going to do to you. But if you've never been in a fight, but because you might be a celebrity or an athlete, and you now jump into the church, you're ready to leave the church. That's not a good thing, my friend. Because God doesn't need celebrity, he just needs availability. And you got to understand, you got to get in the ring with the lesser opponents first so that you can build yourself up, so that you can take on higher and higher opponents. What works in the boxing ring works in the Christian mindset as well. If you want to be a prize fighter, you got to start at the bottom and work your way up. God is not going to put you in the ring for the big time until he's taking you through the streets and the alleyways. And then you prove yourself. This is not some deal where he's going to give you a fight that you cannot have a chance of winning. You don't want God to do that. Amen. Amen. You don't want him to elevate you to a place where you know you're going to fall. Amen. You want him to work with you methodically and gradually, building up your faith to help you to be the kind of man, woman, boy, girl that he has called you to be. You want to learn what it's like to take a left jab or a right hook and know the difference on how to block them. You need to know where to stand, how to stand, where your gloves need to be at all times, how to block an uppercut, how to take a punch in the side, how to deflect it so that it doesn't knock you to the side. You got to learn those things. And too many of us as Christians, we want to get in the ring, we want the big crowd, we want all of this, and we want it right now, and yet we don't even know how to fight. And then we get knocked down, and then what happens to that? Oh, well, you know how it goes. I don't know how it goes. Listen to me. Listen to me today. If you're going through a storm, your storm is nothing but your opponent. But you have the grace to make it. Why? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. But you're going to have to fight through this. You can't be a chump in the room. You're going to have to fight through this. You cannot skip class. You're going to have to sit your behind there and learn from this. Some of y'all didn't like that. Well, let me say it again so you won't like it some more. You need to sit your behind in that classroom, and you got to learn from this trial. You don't get to skip class while everybody else has to learn through these storms. And somehow, because you're so cute and so talented and so gifted, we're going to just simply promote you out. That doesn't happen in the kingdom of God. Everybody starts out as a private. Everybody is a private. There are no generals but Jesus. Everybody is a private. Everybody plays rhythm guitar. Jesus plays lead. Everybody sits in the choir stand. Jesus is the soloist. Yeah. And you got to understand obedience and humility and meekness. And that comes through trials. That comes through storms. But why do I have to go through trials? Because you're too fleshly. Your pride and your arrogance gets in the way. If God withholds the rain, you'll think it's because you're so good. And then he has to send the rain to remind you that you're not all that. That's why the rain can come. And we don't even care why it comes. I know I don't. We care about the lessons. We want to learn the patience. We want to learn experience. And if you're going to move up in terms of your spiritual growth and maturity, as Peter says, and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, check it. You'll see that it's not going to come by going down the path of easy street. There must be some tears shed. There must be some pain that comes. And I don't welcome pain no more than anybody else. But I want you to know that given the fact we must deal with it, we might as well have a plan. We might as well understand it contextually in terms of how God wants to use it to bless us. So after patience and experience, there comes hope. Hope is the confident expectation that God is going to see you through your storm. How many of you have got hope today in the midst of your pain? Ann Graham Lotz once wrote, "If God can bring blessing from the broken body of Jesus and glory from something that is as obscene as the cross, he can bring blessing from my problems and my pain and my unanswered prayer. I just have to trust him." And that's really what we're left with. When God does not answer your prayer, he's actually sending you a message that you just need to trust him. And many of us, we are telling people how to pray in a way that guarantees an answer. And there's no way to guarantee an answer because you don't know what God is going to do. All you can tell people is to trust him after you've prayed. Just continue to trust him. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to know that God still cares for us in the midst of our trouble. It is the comfort of knowing that our trials will never be greater than his love. It's being able to smile when naturally you should frown. That's what it means to trust in God. So let it rain. Let the rain fall. Why? Because in the midst of the rain, there is the opportunity to learn the things of life that will make you better and not bitter. Well, Pastor, if something don't happen soon, listen, you don't know what soon looks like, my friend. You need to just trust God. He kept you when you was in sin. How much more will he keep you now that you're his child? See, some of us don't even think when we're Christians. We just, somehow we tell people to stop thinking. Just do all this crazy stuff. If God kept you when you were in the taverns and you was hooked on crack, he kept you. You ate, you had a roof over your head, and you were able to live every day when you were sleeping around and doing all this other foolishness in life, a sinner on their way to hell, he kept you. But now that you're his child, he can't keep you. That makes absolutely no sense to me. When you was the devil's child, he watched over you. And now that you're saved, well, I'm going to lose the house. I'm going to lose the this. Will you lose your soul? Of course not. Well, what you crying about? You wasn't cleaning the house, no way. Give it up. I think even the baby was laughing after that one. They was like, that was funny. See? Baby was laughing after that one. I'm trying to help you to see something here, that God is not your cosmic genie. He's not your celestial Santa Claus. He's God. He has the right to let you suffer without any explanation. He doesn't have to say, let me try to help so-and-so understand. I don't care if you understand or not. But this is what you can depend on God to do. Go with you through the storm. David said it this way, "Yea, though I walk through the valley, he will be with me." That's what you know for sure. So instead of feeling sorry for yourself, trust God. Let the rain fall. Don't get an umbrella. Just simply let it fall. Quit running from trouble. Run to the cross. And in the end, you will be victorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your ministry.